Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 10, where we see that having God's heart for people means that we will feel the hurt other people have, but we also have to follow our hearts with our hands. Feeling must be followed by doing to minister accordingly and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 1.
It's great to be with you. If you have a Bible, please turn it open to Hebrews. We'll rewind to chapter 4, begin our reading this morning in verse 14. As a way of review, we'll read into chapter 5, verse 10. If you didn't bring a Bible, please follow on the screen behind me as the verses will be placed there for you. You can read along as I read out loud. The writer here says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, his name is Jesus, the Son of God, and we are exhorted to hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our littleness. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin," the absolute absence of sin. "Let us therefore," here's the exhortation, "let us therefore come boldly, confidently unto the throne of grace," that's the throne that Jesus sits on, a throne of grace, "that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." For every high priest, chapter 5, verse 1, in the high priest topic will be the central idea. The central theme as we move through the heart of this book, chapter 5 right through chapter 9, with some interruptions by the writer, this will be the focus, the high priest. He says this, "For every high priest taken from," notice here, "among men, from men, is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for our sins." If you're just coming in, we're in Hebrews chapter 5, reading verse 2. "Who, the high priest, can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For," and that word "for" there in the middle of verse 2 is a reason word. It's the reason is this, "that he himself is also compassed with infirmity." He's clothed with infirmities is what that's speaking of here. And we read that in chapter 4, verse 15. Reading on about this person here, it says, "And by reason hereof, he," the high priest, "he ought, as for the people, so also for himself," notice, "to offer for sins." The tense there is continually offering for sins. It's this unending work of man. When man is the mediator for man, between man and God, it's unending. The work never ends. And it says this here, "that no man that does this work of being a high priest or a priest, you know, at all for that matter, no man takes," notice, "this honor unto himself." And we'll call our message this morning, "this honor," based on that phrase there in verse 4. "No man takes this honor of being a priest unto himself, but he that is called of God." Some of you need to swallow that this morning. "He that is called of God," that's the only person that's called to ministry. "One who is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ," verse 5, "he glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him," the writer here is quoting again Psalm 2, verse 7, "you are my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place," verse 6, and now he's going to quote from Psalm 110, "you are a priest," notice here, "forever," first of some six times that word will be used to describe the priesthood of Jesus Christ. It is not a thing that is temporal, but it is a thing that is perpetual and eternal. The priestly ministry of Jesus Christ. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Real quickly, how many of you have been waiting for us to come to Melchizedek? I've had so many people, I've had emails, I've had folks come up to me after services saying, Pastor, I can't wait for you to tell us who Melchizedek is. But I'll tell you this, it won't be this week. We'll just briefly look at him here this morning. Jesus, his priestly ministry is after the order of Melchizedek, not Aaron. That will be important as we unfold these things in the weeks to come. Who in the days of his flesh, verse 7, Jesus, this is all speaking of Jesus right now. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. We get insight here from the writer of Hebrews of what I believe describing the scene of the Garden of Gethsemane that Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John do not give to us. The detail that is written here in verse 7, Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, that strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Better translation, out of death. Save him out of death. I believe that's speaking of those 3 hours of darkness when Jesus died eternally before Jesus died physically. It's deep. When the iniquity of us all, as Isaiah 53 says, was laid upon him. And the monstrosity there is that there was no iniquity like that at all that was found within him that was placed upon him. If your sins placed upon me, and I don't want to get preachy yet, but if your sins placed upon me, it would be heavy and overwhelming. I would agonize. But I would at least have some understanding to your sin because I have it too within me. You following what I'm saying? Every man is a fallen sinner, myself being the chief here this morning. Jesus Christ had no sin within him. And the sin of the world was placed upon him. So it's no wonder that he was sweating great drops of blood, as it were, on that cool, crisp night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Blood on his robe, tears falling from his eyes as he's pleading with God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. He feared, it says, he's crying to the one who's able to save him out from death, that 3 hours of darkness, the separation that he would experience from the Father like he never had before in all of eternity past. That's so deep and wide. And he was heard, end of verse 7, in that he feared. Though he were a son, verse 8, yet he learned, better translation, he yielded in obedience by the things which he had suffered. And it's amazing how suffering can have such a powerful effect upon our lives so that we can become more compassionate and tender to others. And being made perfect, don't take that verse and twist it. This is not speaking of his human nature or his divine nature. That was always perfected. That had never had a blemish. It's more literally complete as a savior and as a sympathizer. Having become perfect, he made the author of eternal salvation be available to all them that would obey him or believe in him. Called of God, a high priest, here it is again for you, after the order of Melchizedek. Lord, would you please take your word now and open it to us? I truly, honestly believe that all that has to happen in these next 30 minutes or so, Lord, is you to open your word and all of your purposes in this service will be accomplished. I simply just want to unleash what's already been written. What's on your heart clearly in this passage, Lord, I just want to give to your people. So I pray for that ability to communicate effectively this morning, that the tone of my voice, that the words that I say would all be governed by you, and that you'd open our ears and our hearts, Lord. Pentecost Sunday, here we are, God. We ask you to pour out your spirit so that we can see this call to ministry for all of us as a great honor, this honor that's put before us this morning, that we would engage. Stir us, I pray, Lord. Wake us from any apathy, any carnality. Lord, any sin that has beset us, Lord, wake us and shake us and set us free this morning. For your glory and honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, as we begin this chapter, I'll say to you what I said last week. We're disconnected culturally from the Hebrew Christians that the writer was writing to some 2,000 years ago. The whole idea of having a priest or a high priest is foreign to so many of us. So it's a little bit difficult for you and I to get our minds around. But each week as we move through this here, I'll reiterate the theme of the book and the intent of the author as to why he writes what he writes. And I hope that it will become more clear for you. And at the end of the day, all I want you to do is not connect with these people culturally necessarily, but rather see Jesus high and lifted up. Because that is the theme of the book of Hebrews, the superiority or the supremacy, whatever you want to choose there, of Jesus Christ. That if you want to break it down even simpler, the whole goal of this writer here is to make it very clearly understood that Jesus is better. Then whatever you want to put up against him, Jesus is better. That's what he's doing all through the book. He goes off on tangents, parenthetical portions, and he gets deep as he cross-references to the Old Testament. But he's only doing that to take those Old Testament passages and to use them to speak of the superiority of Jesus Christ. That's all that he's doing. How there are messianic psalms like Psalm 2, like Psalm 110, and they speak of Jesus and his supremacy and how much greater he is than any other that has gone before him, the shadows and types that precede him. So you will struggle in some senses if you don't have a handle on the Old Testament, but you won't struggle when we come to our conclusion every week. Even if you don't have a handle on the Old Testament, even if you've never read the Old Testament at all before, the main idea is that Jesus is better. And for you, it might be a different comparison that you're holding up against him. For you, it might not be an old priesthood of Aaron or laws and sacrifices and rituals and things of that nature. For you, maybe it's going to be Jesus is better than that guy that just burned you or than that promotion that's being waved in front of you or whatever it would be that you're being allured by, tempted by, to maybe sort of back off in your pursuit of him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because these people then were entertaining that idea strongly. They were getting ready to turn their back on Jesus. They were getting ready to go back to the things that Jesus called them from. I'll unfold that more for you next week as we enter into that parenthetical portion. What the writer here is basically going to say to them next week is, you can't even go on to deeper things because you've not matured in the faith. And that's why you're ready to go back to your legalism. That's why you're getting ready to go back to what Jesus delivered you from. And maybe some of you, that's your scenario this morning. You're entertaining sin. You're entertaining, you know, the world. You're entertaining a lifestyle that Jesus delivered you from because you're not taking the time to mature and nurture the walk that he's called you to. So he's doing all of these things. He's laying brick. He's laying a foundation. He's going somewhere, and I'll do my best to give you that tried and true, but then also make it relatable to you as Americans in 2019. It's God's word. It always is alive and powerful and always is able to reach us. The priest was designed by God to be the mediator between man and God. And at this moment, the writer is going to say to these people, Jesus is a greater high priest. What he does here is he takes, if you're a note taker, if you consider yourself to be a student of God's word, you love to break down the text to understand it. What he does here is in these opening three verses, part of the fourth verse, so you can say four if you'd like, he says these were the qualifications in summary of a high priest. And we'll reread those in just a moment. Then from most of verse 4 down to verse 10, he says these are the ways that Jesus met those qualifications. That's all that he does here. So we'll pair these verses together as we reread them now to show that these are the calls to be a priest. These are the things. You had to have these things in your life to be said of your life that could be noticed about your life if you're going to be in that ministry. And this is what Jesus did to fulfill the call. So watch. Verse 1, if you're a note taker, pairs up with verses 4 through 6. Verse 1 pairs up with verses 4 through 6. So every high priest is taken from among men. He is ordained for men. And things pertaining to God that he might offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Watch this now, verse 4. And no man takes this honor unto himself, right? There has to be this ordination of God. You've got to be appointed by God. He says in verse 4, no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, just like Aaron was. Aaron is the first high priest in Scripture. From the time of Moses to 70 AD, when the temple was destroyed by Titus, it was Aaron and his lineage that served in this role. You could not just say when you're a little boy at career day at school, you can't go up to the priest booth and say, well, I'm going to be a priest when I'm older, if your father wasn't a priest. If you didn't wear Levi jeans, you had no opportunity. You had to be a Levite, to serve as a Levite, to be in the priestly ministry of the lineage of Aaron. If you were not a part of that lineage, you couldn't even entertain it. Same with being a singer in the temple precincts. If you said, well, I love to sing, it doesn't really matter if you love to sing. If your mom and dad were not singers, if you were not of that lineage, you could not operate in that role, which it's interesting because recent studies from John Hopkins actually show that a lot of that is hereditary, people's ability to sing and not sing. So if you sit next to me in service and I don't sing that well, you should hear my mom and dad. That's why. Somehow Daniel managed to be able to get it, but me and Josiah definitely didn't. Joel a little bit too, so I don't know what the deal is about that, but that's another topic for later. But be that as it may, you couldn't just do these things, these opportunities to serve in a way where you had to be called by God. It wasn't a career. It had to be something that God put his hand on you and your family. You know, people are funny just about this whole thing, but it's so scriptural of what's the word I'm looking for? When you favor family. Nepotism. It's a bizarre thing. Folks get upset. Oh, you know, it's family you're serving. Well, it starts in the beginning of the scripture and it goes all the way through. The brothers of Jesus wrote books in the New Testament. They were they were called by God to serve in such a dynamic, powerful way. Moses and Aaron, Aaron's sons were the priests. You had to be born into the family to have this call upon your life. So he's saying that God would take men from among men to minister to men, and he would handpick who it was going to be. And it was of the lineage of Aaron. It had nothing to do with Aaron's qualifications. It had nothing to do with Aaron's performance and abilities as this amazing follower of God. In fact, Aaron messed up greatly. Aaron did some disastrous things. It had nothing to do with it. It was just God's divine favor and picking of his life and his seed's lives after him. Okay? So he says that here. You, number one, if you're going to be in this, you know, position, you've got to have the calling of God, the ordination of God. That's where the promotion comes from. It comes from the Lord. When it comes to ministry, it comes from the Lord. You want to serve Jesus? That's a great desire. But if you don't got a call in your life to serve him in the capacity that you want to, you are setting yourself up for great failure and danger. My son's tournament yesterday, he's playing soccer. He's there. He's got a game in 6 minutes. Lord bless him with 3 goals. And as he was playing yesterday, he's a forward and a lot of times a center midfielder. He's very, very aggressive. Yeah, he's very aggressive. Yesterday, because of, well, it doesn't matter why. I don't know who listens to these things, so I got to be careful. But yesterday, there was this decision made that the kids were going to rotate where they play in a tournament. First time ever. We're 5-0, but all of a sudden yesterday, we're gonna rotate where the players play and put them in positions they've never played before. And the coach told my son right before the game, after the first quarter, you're going in the goal. Now, doesn't know how to play goalie, never tried to play goalie. He's always only been a center midfielder or forward. That's it. When he went in the goal, the other team scored 3 goals. It was disastrous. He was diving everywhere, but I think at one point the ball was over here and he dove this way. I don't even know. He'd have to go to some goalie clinics and be worked with if this is going to be the position that he pursues. He was clearly, obviously uncomfortable in the uniform that he was wearing, the goalie's uniform, the goalie's gloves. The next quarter, he came out with a vengeance when he went back to forward. He went out there with a vengeance and with an aggression that was a reflection of aggravation of being where he should have never been. and he was back in his comfort zone. Get these gloves off me. Get this goalie's jersey off me. And let me go score goals and pass with the forwards and the effort of having some assist here to beat this other team. He's an aggressor. David, when he was put in Saul's armor, he said, get this off me. I'm uncomfortable. It doesn't fit. I don't like it. I can't see through it. I can't fight with it. Give me my slingshot. I'm used to fighting with my bare hands. I'm a scrapper. I don't fight by the rules. I bite. I poke. I do whatever I got to do. I fought a lion. I fought a bear. You know, I'm a shepherd, man. Get this stuff off of me. I don't fight with these things. I fight with my hands, and I fight with my slingshot. As Christians, when you and I try to step into a realm of ministry that God does not call us to, it's disastrous, but not just for you, for everybody around you. There's got to be a calling of the Lord upon your life. It has nothing to do with somebody being better than you, me being better than you, you being better than the next person. So if you happen to be that person that God has called in the realm that somebody else wants to serve, you have no reason to puff your chest out and lift your nose up. It's the favor of God because he's gracious and kind. Aaron messed up severely. He led the nation of Israel into idolatrous worship. Orgies and drunkenness were on his watch. The blood of those actions and deeds was on his hands before God. And yet God chose him still. The old Hebrew idiom, God loves you because he loves you. You could take and apply to your service, Lord. God chose you because he chose you. It has nothing to do with you. You can't take yourself too seriously. After all, you go to bed with yourself at night. You know the real you. You wake up to yourself in the morning and you look in the mirror. You know the real you. God had a call on Aaron and his lineage because he chose to. That's why. Now, that's the first point the writer is saying here. I'm only going to use 2 points. I'm going to make this so base for our congregation this morning. You had to be called by God to serve God. You had to be called by God, appointed by God, ordained by God. Still the same today. Now he's going to show here, because you got to remember, these people's families were saying, how are you going to follow this Jesus of Nazareth? How are you going to follow, you know, this man that was crucified on Calvary's Hill? How are you going to walk away from the beautiful institution, the priestly institution, the lineage of Aaron, and the mediators that have descended from him, that stand between you? How are you going to walk away from all that to pursue him? Because he's also a chosen high priest.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.